I have here in my fingers something to show you, but it's so small that unless you brought your telescope today, you probably can't see it. And it's so small, I can't even hold it up, so I actually taped one to a post-it note. You probably can't see that either. But maybe you've guessed what it is. It's a mustard seed. Jesus says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed, the smallest seed on earth. So here's what Jesus uses to try to help us to understand what has been called the kingdom of God. There you go. Everybody got it? Makes perfect sense. What Jesus is offering is at the heart of reality, of deep importance for us as individuals and as human beings who live in families and communities, and especially for now, a community in transition. Jesus is using a familiar, concrete thing to help us to know the invisible, the subtle, but what is paradoxically the most powerful thing. A seed so small we can barely perceive it. At a distance, we can't see it at all. Not only small, but seemingly lifeless. But when sown, when planted and watered, it becomes large enough that living creatures can find a home in it. And Jesus also told us in another gospel, in the Gospel of Luke, that the kingdom of God is within you, or some translations say, is among you, is in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is here, in this place, and in our hearts. So just as a tiny mustard seed can become a very large, robust, flourishing plant and bush that is alive and provides a place for rest and nourishment, so too our tiny, unsure awareness of God's kingdom in our midst can grow into a living, flourishing home, our true home, for the most important kinds of rest and nourishment to aid us in our everyday struggles, in our anxieties and our hopes and our efforts and our exhaustion, in our anger, in our deepest hungers. So how do we come to palpably know this home and feel it? We might first ask, what is the kingdom of God that we're trying to come to know to begin with? Even the disciples didn't fully get it as Jesus was alive with them, sharing all the healing and parables and blessings and love that he shared. The Greek word that is used for kingdom is basileia, and it means a realm, the realm of God, the dominion of God. And of course, it's hard to understand because it's not something we can grasp in our minds alone. The realm of God is invisible to our eyes and is not containable in our thoughts, yet it contains everything. It's eternal. It's outside of time, yet it's here now. It's beyond a solid thing with qualities, and yet Jesus continually pointed us to qualities and embodied those qualities, and in fact told us we can embody those qualities. Qualities like love, the joy of giving love, of feeling loved, of feeling seen, of feeling lovable, beloved. Qualities like compassion and mercy for ourselves and for one another. Qualities like peace, the peace beyond understanding. Jesus promised us he was leaving that to us. And qualities like truth, the truth that sets us free. And qualities like community, not division. These are qualities that we instinctively desire and long for and are made of. And Christ's message about this realm of God is so hopeful that it's like a seed that when sown becomes something alive in which we can live, and that it's already with us. To know this kingdom requires a passionate commitment and dedication, like any longing that we have to be something, to learn to play an instrument, to become a master of a topic, to be physically fit. It also requires awareness, and in particular, a space for awareness. If our attention is always gripped by what we're looking at on a screen or with our thoughts and opinions and demands about what life should be, we can miss noticing the realm of God in our midst. And it requires the space of slowing down. Racing around in our heads and doing things, we're like drivers in a vehicle going 70 miles per hour and everything is a blur. There's no way that we could even sense a mustard seed. We are skimming across the surface of the depths of reality. We need pauses. Little story about that. The other night, I was in just such a state of intensely doing work things, hunched over my computer, but I had an arrangement with friends to have a FaceTime walk and talk, but I wanted to keep on working. I had, you know, a lot to do, a lot of deadlines, all these things in my head, but I decided not to cancel, mainly from the encouragement of my friends, not from any wisdom of my own. And so I went for the walk and talk on the FaceTime, and about 20 minutes in, I came to the edge of a lake. And two things happened at the same time. And the first is kind of hard to describe, but there was this resonance between something my friends were saying and a sense of God's love in my heart. And I felt suddenly this palpable warmth in my heart and an uplifting feeling. And at the exact same time, I saw a blue heron in the lake, maybe 10 or 15 feet from me, so majestic and so still, like a statue. And then with a regal bearing, it walked towards me, still in stillness, and then it lowered itself towards the water, and with this inconceivable speed, it poked its beak into the water, caught a fish, swallowed it, and stood up in regal bearing again, perfectly still. And the only movement was the ripples going out in the water. And I felt the power of this stillness, of this heron being exactly what she was designed to be by God, this heavenly creature, this expression of God. And something switched inside of me, and I felt light, and I got off the phone because I needed to bask in the stillness. And within a few minutes, the soft pink appeared on the horizon, and then very quickly, you know how quickly it happens, the whole aura of the lake changed because the horizon was slashed with purples and blues and streaked across the sky and reflected on the lake. And I felt like I had gone from hunched over a computer and all this tension into paradise, truly. And if I hadn't paused, I would have missed it. And our glimpses of God's realm in our midst are not always so obvious as this. And maybe I just needed a strong strike on the head to get it, to really make the point. But in our intentional pausing, even for a moment in our days, we will always be fed, often subtly, sometimes in that moment, sometimes later, sometimes just in the slow building of our inner capacity to perceive, to sense the subtlety of God's presence and kingdom with us, and the gifts of God offering themselves to us. But if we're too busy, we miss it. As we at St. Paul's enter this year of transition, I can't help but think what a marvelous gift, an opportunity to pause, to practice pausing together, to sensing the presence of God together, offering us the gifts that we need, gifts that in our preoccupation we so often miss. In times of change, we often feel anxious, and that often gives rise to our impetus to say, let's take action, let's make a plan, let's voice our strong opinions, let's try to shape things according to our opinions and our thoughts, let's do it. While Jesus was leading people on earth, he was always delivering the unexpected, ways not according to people's ideas and opinions. There's so much that we don't know. In the prophecy of Isaiah, we hear, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord." When Jeannie first told the staff at a meeting that she was leaving, she couldn't help crying. And whenever she conveyed the news in various meetings, tears would come. And you know, a beautiful thing that I noticed was that her tears were both tears of great sadness and great joy. Sadness because she's leaving this community that she loves so much. And joy, I could see the light in her eyes, and because she would say again and again, I know that I'm doing the right thing. And I know that I'm doing the right thing for myself and for St. Paul's. And I would never leave if I didn't feel that I was doing the right thing for St. Paul's. And knowing her as I've come to know her these past 10 months, I have faith in her spiritual practice and in the pauses that I know she took that brought her to this clarity in her heart. And her clarity leads me to wonder, what might God have in mind for this community, for each of us? What surprise? There's a beautiful verse in Isaiah where God says, "See, I am about to do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness." It takes our commitment and dedication and attentiveness to notice it. How might we in these coming days take the opportunity, the gift, together to make a nest in the kingdom of God in our midst, trusting that it's there, sowing the tiniest seed that becomes a luminous home, our home of love, that makes us become, as Paul declared in his letter to the Corinthians today, a new creation in Christ. It's the most important thing we can do.